Welcome back to Resilience by Faith podcast, where we share stories and topics that give God the glory, and it's talked about in a modern way where people of all ages can relate to. So come on in, because we have a lot to catch up on. Hey, hey, everybody. Hey, girl. Hey, this is your host, Reese, and we are back with the Resilience by Faith podcast. I am in my feels today. I ain't even going to lie to you. I'm not. Like, I have been having this overwhelming feeling of loneliness recently, and let's talk about it honestly. Like, I'm coming to you raw. I'm coming to you uncut. Like, I have been dealing with this feeling of loneliness, and I honestly don't know, is it the devil? Is it me? Is it, you know, like, because I've been single for a minute here, and I'm unbothered. Like, I don't mind being by myself. I live by myself. Everything is kosher over here, you know? And then all of a sudden, I wake up, and I just, like, for the past 3 weeks, I've been having this feeling of loneliness, and I want to talk about it for all the girlies out there who are also single and also feel lonely and also feel doubtful about the future as it pertains to dating. Now, I know that there has been a lot of things on TikTok and Instagram about emotionally unavailable men and about future wise and like taking back our strength as women and not tolerating the bare minimum just for the sake of having somebody. Please do not do that. Like, please stand on your strength and please stand in your truth and be honest with yourself. Like, I don't want you going out here accepting the bare minimum at all just for the sake of having somebody, because there are so many people that are married right now, and the unpopular opinion, but people get married and they get with somebody because they feel like their time is running out and they feel like they should be farther along in life than where they should be according to their standards, but they're just like, it's society standards, but really nobody is rushing you but you. So there are people out here that are going and getting married to these people and then ended up in a divorce within a couple years, or they're going and getting married to these people and having kids by them and then ending up in a divorce within a couple years. And I just feel like, number one, if you are confident and collective and knowing who you are, then you won't need a relationship to validate your existence, your happiness, your well-being. If you feel lonely, like I'm telling myself, I pray to God, because God is literally the only person who is going to be able to hear my sorrow, see my tears, wipe my tears, and be able to comfort me and reassure me that, you know, like, even though I might be lonely now, it's coming. And you just have to have strength enough and faith enough to continue to go on with your life. I'm telling you, like, I did some thinking, and this wasn't recent. This was like maybe a couple months ago, or maybe even last year. I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and I was like, I want to enjoy my single life because I don't want to envy single people when I get married. Because when you are single, you have time for yourself. You have self-care. You are alone. You can watch movies in peace and quiet. You can get done what you need to get done. You can leave something in one place and come back and leave the house and come back home and it still be in that same place. You ain't got nobody calling your name. You ain't got no expectations to live up to for anyone. So you should be trying to enjoy your single life, because when your married life comes, that's going to be one. And then when kids come, that's going to be another part of your life. And that's for sure a permanent part of your life. Because, I mean, regardless if the marriage lasts or not, you always going to be somebody mama from there on out. You can't return a sender for that one. So it is crucial that you enjoy your single phase. But easier said than done. Some days I feel like that, to where I'm just like, okay, I'm single. I can do what I want. I'm free. Like, I don't have to live by the same rules as you. Like, me and you are not the same, hun. And then other days I wake up and I'm just like, dang, it would be nice to have my husband here right now, because I don't feel like taking out the trash, or I don't feel like bringing in the groceries, or, you know, like, I feel like I could be spending quality time with somebody. No, really, but really, like, men should be doing the heavy lifting and taking out the trash, because, I mean, who wants to do that? But when you live by yourself, you don't have no choice. It is what it is. And so, not to say I just want a man for that stuff, but y'all get me, like, you feel me. And I just really had to come to terms with being okay in my singleness. Like, this is going on maybe 6 years for me. I have not dated anybody seriously since my very last relationship. And a lot of people are just like, why don't you go out and date? Why don't blah, 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 blah. Well, when the pandemic hit, that really put a wrench in dating for me. And then I went back to school and I graduated with my doctorate degree this January, which was 2022. And now going into 23, it's like, okay, you know, I've tried the dating apps. I'm not impressed. Not only are there a lot of emotionally unavailable men out here, but they don't know what they want. They just know that they're ready to be in a relationship, but they don't even know, like, the goals that they want for the relationship, or some of the qualities that are deal breakers or must-haves in a person, and why. They don't know, like, if they want kids, what kind of parent they're going to be. When do they think they might want to start trying for kids? You know, do you have any type of faith? You know, all, like, the things that you should be thinking about, like, how are you with money? How's your relationship with finances? Like, all these things that we should be talking about. And the only thing that they seem to want to talk about is being intimate. So I got a fun little story, okay? I got on the dating app and I put up there that I'm celibate to see, like, well, first of all, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not trying to have, you know, all of y'all in my business, but literally I ain't doing nothing with nobody, because ain't nobody worth my time and I ain't trying to get stuck with nobody. So there's that. But I did want to see the reaction to guys from seeing that in my bio, like, I'm celibate, I'm celibate, I'm celibate. There, surprisingly, but not surprisingly, there were guys who was trying to argue with me on that. Like, oh, you're celibate, but why? What you mean, why? Like, excuse me? Hello? Like, who are you to ask me why? First of all, we don't even know each other. You know, like, we're just, we both of us just matched with each other. And one of the, maybe not one of the first questions, but definitely by the second or third question, why are you celibate? I guess the question is, why are you worrying about it? Is that a deal breaker for you? So I think that, you know, there's a lot of men with the wrong intentions or the wrong perspective in mind. Not only that, I also found through my little trial of putting that in my bio and dating older, I was thinking, you know, I know age isn't anything but a number, but hopefully people from older generations would have just a lick more sense. Negative. Negative, negative, negative. And the ones who do are rightfully married. So, yeah, I kind of just dropped off the dating scene. But since I've dropped off the dating scene. I was fine up until like 2 weeks ago. And I think what really did it for me was that Netflix show called From Scratch. I was fine until I watched that show. And then I started thinking about like exes, old relationships, you know, all these things. And I felt like, in a way, you know how people say, like, your eyes are the gateway to your soul. And that's true. And so, like, you got to watch what you feed your soul, watch what you take in. And I'm a very emotional person. Like, The Notebook was my favorite movie and still is. The Titanic, you know, I'm on that level of emotional, like, sit and cry and love it. You know, it doesn't bother me to sit and cry, whereas most people don't want to sit and cry because it's depressing. But to me, I feel like, you know, it is what it is. I like a good cry every now and then. I like a chick flick. And I mean, obviously. So I was watching that and I saw all the things on Facebook talking about From Scratch. And I'm sitting here expecting to see something like The Notebook. And that's how it kind of sort of started off in a roundabout way. But then it went to the real depressing. And I'm sorry if you guys haven't watched it, but I'm about to spill the beans. The guy ended up with cancer and but I really wasn't looking at the love part because for me, it really wasn't no love. After he got diagnosed with cancer, it was all on his wife to be strong. And I mean, literally be strong. And she couldn't break down even when she wanted to. And she was watching her husband basically deteriorate in front of her eyes. And she was the strong one for him. And then after he died, she just lost it and she was depressed. And everybody just kept telling her, you can't do this. You all have a child and you need to do this and you need to do that. And she would have to pull herself together to do those things. And I just felt like she never had the chance to grieve and actually like express her emotions because somebody always needed something and she always needed to be there for whoever more than herself because it was her husband. And then after her husband is her child. And I'm just like, when is it going to be her? So it was a lot. And there's a lot of different takes on it. If you follow me on Instagram, I put up a couple of reviews about that show, but I could literally go on and on about it because everybody's so focused on, oh, they were so in love and then he died. Oh my God. Yeah. And cancer sucks. That's for sure. And that is sad. And it is unfortunate, but I took kind of a different approach on that movie. But anyway, it was after that movie and after my different approach, then I went back to the love and it literally not replayed in my mind, but it just brought up a lot more other thoughts and a lot of other situations for me. And in a way, I almost feel like I could have did without. Like, I wish that I wouldn't have watched that movie in a way because I was like I'm saying, guys, I was fine. It's been almost 6 years since I have been single. And I won't necessarily say it wasn't until I saw this movie, then all of a sudden, you know, I became lonely and reflective. Like, there has been parts and times over these last 6 years that I have been reflective, that I have been lonely. I mean, it comes and goes, it comes in waves. And I think I'm a human being, so that's only natural for me to feel those emotions and things. But definitely, I would say for the home stretch, it hasn't been like no feelings of lack or feelings of missing out on anything until I watched that movie. And I was just like, So I had to literally, like, you know, write down or take account for my feelings and then ask myself, why am I feeling this way? And try to get down to the bottom of it so I could write a positive for it, because I journal and you guys know I sell journals. And so in my journal, I was just like, you know, God, I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling forgotten. I'm feeling abandoned. I'm just so ready to like start my little family and have our own little family traditions even if I don't have kids, I'm just ready to find my partner and like start my own little family and my own little traditions and all the things. And just like I hear God saying now, like he's just saying, wait on me. You know, like everything doesn't come on your timing when you want it to come, how you want it to be. It says in the Bible that my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so that I only take that interpretation as it has to be better. And I have to not rush my person, my future, my little family, because I know that God's timing is perfect. It is. It might sound cliche, but it is perfect because it's a lot of things that I asked for in the past. I asked God for in the past, and if he would have gave it to me right when I asked for it, I probably would have fumbled it. I probably would have messed it up. I probably wouldn't have took care of it. I probably wouldn't have been appreciative. But the fact that I am going to remember this waiting period, this waiting season for my husband, for my kids, for my little family, I shall never forget. I shall never forget when I finally have what I had been praying to God for. I will never forget the waiting season and how it felt before I got what it is that I've been praying to God for, that I've been desiring. And it has nothing to do with social media or anything like that. I think it's natural. The closer young women get to 30, because you know 35 is like, after 35 or 35 and up is considered a geriatric pregnancy, and your eggs get fewer and fewer. And I think after 35, you have 15 eggs or less. So I have also been given thought to like harvesting my eggs while I'm still in my 20s. And I don't think that I have any problems getting pregnant or anything like that, but it's just that I fear that by time I get the person who I am supposed to be with, I might be well in my 30s, and that's fine because your 20s are for making mistakes and trying to figure it out. Well, I'm in my career. I'm doing what it is that I'm doing above and beyond what I want to do, actually. And so I'm just like waiting on Mr. Right. And that's the only piece that I'm missing. But being that I'm already 28, I'm 2 years away from being 30. And then after that, I'm 5 years away from being considered geriatric. So I might as well, while I have an abundant supply of eggs, harvest them, like go ahead and retrieve them, so that when or if I get my husband, that I don't have to worry about my eggs being an issue because I will already have them harvested somewhere in some lab or however they do it. I have a lot of clients or a lot of people that I know, especially watching TV, TikTok, social media, that have done IVF, and they share their story because they actually have infertility. I don't think I have infertility, but again, I feel like it's important to do an egg retrieval if, like, the closer I get, the less my eggs get. So I know a family is my goal, and that's something that I want. So I'm just like, why not go ahead and harvest them? I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Like, how do you guys feel about women harvesting our eggs? Or should we even have to think about that? Or is that something that's smart? Because I feel like it's smart because the older I get, the less my eggs get, and you can have some abnormal ones and so forth. And if I'm going to have 15 eggs or less, but compared to when I was born, I have millions of them, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't want to slim my chances of getting pregnant. So I think that, I mean, obviously that's a personal choice, but I'm sharing this with you guys just to let you guys know that, of course, I'm human too, but I do think about things like that. And if you're thinking about things like that, then you're not alone. I created this show to share stories of resilience, yes, and to talk to you guys. That's how it started out. But then it went into interviews. And this season, I feel like God told me to do a mix of interviews and a mix of talking. And so I literally just wanted to bring this up because I do feel like it's important. And if there is a lot of interest or a lot of feedback comments on this topic, then I'm actually thinking about bringing one of my OBGYN PAs or my OBGYN MDs or DOs onto the show, NPs, you know, just to sit and talk to us about fertility and your chances of getting pregnant and some of the reasons why women come in for egg retrieval and so forth. I actually think that would be an interesting episode as I'm saying it. I'm thinking about it more and more. But yes, I guess the moral of the show or the point I'm trying to get to is God's timing is perfect. God's plan is superb, way better than what we could ever think or want. And don't ruin it by loneliness and don't ruin it by thinking you're way behind society or where everybody else says you're supposed to be by now. You don't know how many times I get the question, oh, you ain't dating nobody? Oh, you why? Why? Because I don't want to. You see, Tracy Ellis Ross, she just turned 50. She's not married and she doesn't have any kids. And sis is fine. She's fine physically, but she's also fine mentally, okay? And she lets that be known that, I mean, everybody doesn't have to follow that same pattern. Oh, finish school. Oh, get a degree. Oh, get a husband. Oh, have kids. Everybody doesn't have to live this cookie cutter type life. And everybody's life is supposed to be uniquely tailored to them as a person. And I feel like I'm on my journey right now because I am. And I don't feel bad for it. I don't. And I shouldn't allow the enemy or anybody else to doubt my journey and my process. Because even if I do doubt it, it's still not going to change it. It's going to happen when God wants it to happen. So I want to leave us right there, guys. Like I said, if you got any feedback for this show, please follow us at Resilience by Faith Pod on Instagram. It's a Resilience by Faith podcast group on Facebook. And of course, you can always follow me at The Resilient PAC on Instagram and let me know your feedback on this episode. Because when I say I was in my feelings for the past 2 weeks, I have literally been in my feelings and reflecting. But just having this conversation with you guys and knowing that I can get on here and use this microphone as my safe place. I'm pretty sure a lot of you appreciate my transparency because I know I'm not alone. And I think it's important for us to stick together in down times, especially when the enemy knows that we're vulnerable so that we can stay strong in God. So I hope that you guys have a beautiful, beautiful week. And I will see you guys on our next episode. Bye, guys. As always, thank you for tuning in to Resilience by Faith podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and like, share, and support. That's the best way to help me reach more people around the world. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.